that.
Radio Paradise Valley woman convicted of negligent homicide in the 2009 drowning death of her mentally disabled son who was sitting by a pool.
It was known within the family that the four-year-old was very fond of getting into the water, although it was equally known that he could not swim.
Wind's a problem in northern Arizona. They're watching things at the Gladiator fire near Crown King, which is about 15,000 acres.
Today is a day that we're going to be very careful watch for any spots or unpredictable weather that may be coming out because of these fast winds.
Same concern for the Sunflower fire outside of Payson. Extreme DUI, that's the charge against a Gold Canyon man arrested.
Mr. Lilly's blood alcohol was officially 0.32%. That's more than four times the legal limit.
An audit of retailers on their advertised specials.
We wanted to see, are the items actually at the store? And secondly, do the ads match the price in the ads?
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic brought to you by your Valley Honda dealers. 4 o'clock hour, watch for an accident off to the side. Eastbound Loop 202, that is at the 10, obviously going to create some problems, gang. Look for another wreck, Thomas Road at 68th Street. In the Southeast Valley, we do have a collision, Germain Road at Price. You may want to think about Dobson or Queen Creek. Think small at your Valley Honda dealers. Really big sales event. You don't need a big wallet, but with really small payments on all new Civic. Shop now at valleyhondadealers.com. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, getting ready to start this big cool down as we move toward our holiday weekend. Mid to upper 90s tomorrow and Friday. Windy at times, and motorists should watch for gusty winds and blowing dust over our highways. Then over the weekend, we are only mid to upper 80s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently we're at 101 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I'm 53 now. You know, I have a young son, and I want to take him vision. This cancer has changed so many lives. It's not worth it for one cigarette. Throw him down, walk away, call Ashline. Anybody that's going to quit needs some kind of help.
You can quit. Ashline can help. Call today, 1-800-556-6222, or visit ashline.org. It's free.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we whittle agents' intellects into pointy, sharp utensils, and this is a pop quiz. What is the best way to save on insurance if you own a car and a house? Should you A, sit down with a farmer's agent to combine your policies into a delightful savings sandwich, or B, keep separate policies? The answer? A, talk to us and pass the mail.
We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, thanks, Chet. That is the mellifluous, wonderful voice of Chet. We're lucky to have him give us that wonderful introduction. Did you do the music, too, on that, Chet?
Yes, I did. It's from the French Alps.
Yeah. Okay, everything is from the French Alps. All right, well, anyway, we are here every week, Wednesday 4 to 5 on KFNX Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX News Talk Radio, and one of the only shows, really, that focuses on local issues and hopefully with a legal twist to it, since Jack and I, Jack now being a new lawyer, are both lawyers. And today we have another lawyer on with us, and we're pleased to have Andre Cherney, who is running for the Congress in district, the newly created District 9. We're going to be talking with him throughout the hour. But by way of brief background, let me just introduce Andre to my listening audience. First of all, Andre is a first-generation American born to immigrant parents, and we'll be talking about that, a wonderful success story that's really wonderful to listen to. And Andre graduated with honors from Harvard University, earned his law degree from the University of California at Berkeley, and is the youngest White House speechwriter in United States history, working in the Clinton administration, formerly chair of the Democratic Party, and served on the City of Phoenix's Industrial Development Authority and Commission on Housing and Neighborhoods, as well as the board of the Arizona League of Conservation Voters. Andre and his wife Stephanie live with their two children in Phoenix, Arizona. And Andre, welcome to the show first. Okay, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're pleased to have you. And tell us a little bit about why you're running for Congress, and then we'll bore down into the details.
You know, I'm running because of what's happening in our country. I really think we're in a moment of crisis. And I think you have a political system right now that is not responding to the will of the people, that we're really not having the right kind of priorities. You see a situation right now where the basic idea of America, to me, is that if you work hard, you should be able to get ahead, which sounds a little bit like a platitude, but it's actually a pretty revolutionary
idea. Sounds
like
you're a Republican.
Well, it's something that I think everybody agrees on. You know, it's a pretty revolutionary idea when you look at the history of the world, when you look at other places around the world, and it's been what's made America great. But we're losing that. I mean, over the past decade, people have been working longer hours, spending less time with their families, and falling further behind, making less. Well, the costs of college and groceries and gasoline and healthcare and everything else keep on going up. To me, that is at odds with the basic idea of what our country is supposed to be about and what we call the American dream is supposed to be about. And yet you look at Washington right now and you have a Congress where at the same time that a huge number of corporations aren't paying a dime in taxes, they're trying to raise taxes on the middle class. You have these too big to fail banks that are getting bigger and bigger, and we're not doing enough to help families whose homes are underwater. We have our priorities out of whack, and we have a political system that's not responding to the people, and you have too many elected officials who aren't actually getting results, and that's why I got into this race.
Yeah. Well, I applaud you for that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you are a Democrat, having been chairman of the Democratic Party in the state just recently. Obama, of course, being a Democrat, does he share these values that you're espousing now? And if he is, what's he doing about it?
I think he shares those values, absolutely. And you see the kinds of things that he's said and talked about. I don't agree with every single thing the Obama administration has done, but I think that what they did was they inherited a situation where over the 8 years before he came in, you had a whole host of decisions that really helped lead to the kind of financial collapse that we saw. And really, for the first time in history, a situation where you had falling real incomes over the 8 years. You know, he's been trying to dig ourselves as a country out of that and making a bunch of headway. We have a lot more work to do. And to me, that's really what this is about, is how are we actually going to start moving forward?
Well, let me ask you this now. You're running, as I said at the beginning of the show, we're talking with Andre Cherney, running for District 9 Congress on the Democratic side, and you've got some formidable opponents there to get over first before you get to the Republican side, which we can talk about. My understanding is Kristen Sinema, who's did she resign from the state Senate to run?
She did, yes.
Yeah. And you've got her. You've got David Shapiro, who he's still in the Senate, correct? Or is it the House?
He is in the Senate, right?
Senate, yeah. I think he was the minority leader.
Right.
And we had him on the show once before. So these are pretty formidable opponents, at least in the Democratic mm-hmm. ranks, for you to get over. And how do you distinguish yourself from these folks? You've never held elective office, which may right. be a positive thing. But how do you distinguish yourself?
You know, to me, it's about getting things done, and it's about results. And I think I have a record going back to my time spent in the White House in the Clinton years where, as we were discussing before the show yeah. started, you know, people look back on it with kind of rose-colored glasses. Yeah. We faced some tough opposition. You know, had President Clinton, but then you had Newt Gingrich, the Speaker of the House. Tom DeLay was the majority leader. Trent Lott was the leader of the Senate. But we were able to actually make progress, balance the budget for the only time in the past 50 years in our country's history.
True.
Be able to put in place policies to help the private sector create 22 million new jobs, largest expansion of health care since Medicare, largest expansion of college age since the GI Bill, with a Republican Congress that didn't want to do many of those things. We were able to get results. You know, when I was an assistant attorney general here, a prosecutor, you know, did some of the first prosecutions of home mortgage fraud, partnered with Elizabeth Warren early on to start the fight for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, went up against a Wall Street that was very much opposed to all that, and actually got that passed. And I think I have a pretty unique record in this field of folks, of somebody who's been able to actually move the ball forward, get things done, not just talk about things, not just say I'm opposed to this or that, but actually make progress. At the end of the day, that's why we elect people, is to actually do something.
Let me ask you this before we have to take our break. What did you learn, if you had to single out the single biggest thing you learned during those Clinton days, as we look back on them now, mm-hmm. in terms of what you would bring to the Congress? What's the single biggest lesson you learned in terms of how you would proceed?
Yeah, I think that what we saw in the Clinton White House, and I think one of the things that really worked there was what he used to call putting people first, and a kind of approach to government that said we have to invest in our people, in their future, and actually make a difference and start building up our capacity as a country to do those things. I think there's a lot more we need to do there, but that's one of the things I think we'll learn.
Yeah, that's good. Now, this Congressional District 9 that you, Andre Cherney, are vying to be our representative in, which, by the way, is my district, as it turns out, is a huge district. I mean, I live in Paradise Valley, but it encompasses, as I understand it, Scottsdale to North Central
Phoenix, all the way down to Mesa, takes in big chunk of Phoenix, Ahwatukee, Mesa, Chandler. So
diverse
geographical
or demographic district, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it has a lot of different great neighborhoods and areas. It's, to me, what unites it is it's a very middle-class district. Different neighborhoods, different concerns, but by and large, it's people who are concerned about very much bread and butter issues. How are we going to pay our mortgage? How are we going to put our kids through college? How are we going to have a better job that pays better wages? Those kinds of concerns are the real concerns, and people who are kind of sick and tired of a political system that's not responding to that.
What is the breakdown, Democrat versus Republican, in that district? You know,
it's about a third, Democrat, Republican, Independent.
So it's a very competitive district. We've got about 1 minute. In that minute, I know this is a difficult question for you to restrain yourself, but we'll pick it up when we come back from the break. You mentioned the economy earlier. What's the biggest priority you would have as you entered in specifically in terms of something you would introduce that's different than what we've got today?
Yeah, I'll mention two things. We can talk about them when we get back. I'd say number one is how are we going to help the families whose homes are underwater, and how are we going to give them some relief from the burden they're facing, especially while we've bailed out these banks and haven't done enough. And number two is, how do we make Arizona the solar state? That's, I think, going to be a huge source of jobs and opportunity for us in the long run, and is something that we really can focus on building.
All right. Well, thanks, Andrew Cherney. We'll be picking this up after this break for commercial messages. This is Dennis Wilenchek and Jack Wilenchek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Are you overweight, struggling with related health problems? Do you have poor energy? Are your clothes getting tighter and tighter? Change your food cravings and bad habits now with a proven weight control hypnosis CD that will teach you behavior modification techniques for making small, effective lifestyle eating changes. Learn a powerful hypnosis technique that will reinforce good food choices effortlessly. Call 818-769-4300 now to receive the Weight Control Forever program for only $12. This special offer ends soon. Call 818-769-4300.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold, the jewelry store smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With gold at an all-time high, now is the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot, and there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if something in our showroom catches your eye, you can take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards a new purchase. Imagine, in one visit, you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Well, the hot sun is definitely here, and we're talking here some hot issues with Andre Cherney, who's running for District 9, the new congressional seat that, as we said before the break, spans from Paradise Valley to North Central down to Mesa. I mean, it's a huge district and a new one, and he's running against two formidable candidates on the Democratic side. And, Andre, before the break, you were good enough to tell us about some areas that you felt were priorities that, again, distinguish you from some of the other candidates in terms of what you would do if you got into office. And just to repeat, the first one was people who are underwater. We were talking during the break about there's all kinds of facets to that. I mean, there are people who are legitimately underwater. On the other hand, there are people who got underwater by essentially taking advantage of a system that allowed them to do so. And so you wonder sometimes, at least I do, you know, who's the victim in those situations? It's probably all of us as taxpayers who are footing the bill for these HARP reductions and the fact that people basically played the system through buying homes that they had no business owning. So, I mean, everybody shares in the blame on this, I suppose. But what do you propose specifically to do about the situation, and what do you think the situation is right now to do something about?
Yeah, when I'm talking about now, I'm talking about the responsible homeowners, the people who did everything right, everything they were supposed to do. Somebody was playing fast and loose. You know, we should not be out there helping those folks and rewarding irresponsibility,
right?
Or greed.
And there's sure enough to go around.
There, absolutely. And look, I was as a prosecutor was one of the people who prosecuted, I think, one of the first, if not the first, home mortgage fraud case under the 2006 statute that we have here in Arizona. And so, you know, went after those folks and absolutely don't believe they should be rewarded for their irresponsibility. But there's a lot of folks, and I'd say maybe, you know, the majority of folks who did everything they were supposed to do, who played by the rules. And what we've seen through a lot of the irresponsibility you see on Wall Street, a huge meltdown in home values. And I think that it's only fair, in my estimation, to say that after we as a country have gone in and bailed out these too big to fail banks, that they now help the homeowners, because we're not going to get out of this economic hole here in Arizona until we start dealing with the issue that we've right now seen the biggest drop in home values of any place ever in American history.
Oh, I just heard on TV today, before I came over here, that apparently that's seems to be changing a bit. I mean, it seems to be on the uptick.
We're climbing out of it, but we're way down in that hole. So, we are slowly – I mean, we've hit the bottom, and we're starting to
let me ask you about that for a second. You know, because I wonder sometimes about that, honestly. I think when we say that, it may in some ways be misleading to people, because the problem is that the values went to points that they had no business going to, and now everybody's sort of gauging that as the norm and saying, well, we haven't reached that level yet. But those levels really weren't they – totally unrealistic. I mean, we're at a point now where the houses are really worth what they are.
Well, I think we were in a bubble, but a lot of people were sold those houses and bought those houses at that time.
Just the reality of it.
Just the reality of the situation. And so you had people who, you know, put their life savings into these
sure.
homes. And so I think that until we get to a place that makes more sense. I don't think that right now. I think things are still depressed from what the real values are.
Yeah.
We need to help. Help.
So what would you do? Tell me what you're thinking.
I think, you know, we need to go back to Wall Street and talk about some, you know, reduction in people's principles and really help people write that down so their homes are – that they are paying on their homes what they really are worth. And in a lot of cases, we're not seeing that.
Well, now we had a show a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to remember it all now. But anyway, it had to do with some big lawsuit that, you know, where
– mortgage fraud settlement.
The mortgage fraud settlement. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the whole show dedicated with various guests on to where this money ought to go. I'm sure you've read that and seen that. So, I mean, there has been some progress in regard to lawsuits by the Attorney General's office and so forth around the country to recover money back from some of these large banks, right?
Well, I'm not a fan of that settlement. I think that was a – pretty mistaken settlement, and it was Democrats and Republicans that agreed to it. So it's not a partisan.
What were you opposed to? Tell us.
I think that we got a raw deal as the public out of that, and signed away way too much of our rights to go after some of the illegality of what happened in these big banks, and they got away pretty much scot-free, just about, with having to commit very little in the way of real reform and in the way of actually responding to the challenges that they put in place from the first get-go. So I think that was a mistaken settlement in my book. And you look at what's happening in Arizona right now, where, and not just Arizona, but a lot of other places as well, where state legislators like ours right now are actually taking money that was supposed to be used to help homeowners and using it for pet projects of all different kinds.
Yeah, that's
kinds
what our show is about, yeah. Really. Yeah.
And so that's that is a real problem. And yeah. So you know, the people that are that were supposed to be helping that settlement are not going to see much of anything out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and anyway, I kind of interrupted you there, but specifically, then, what are you proposing?
Well, as I was saying, you know, I think going back to some of these banks and talking about principal reduction to help make sure that people owe what the homes are really valued and not the kind of deflated value that they have right now, where they still owe what they paid at the very top, but the home is never going to be anywhere near that. And we are not going to recover as an economy until we start getting that right.
Isn't part of the problem, though, that a lot of these loans were packaged on the secondary market, shipped out to China and other places, so that these banks aren't really even holding the paper, much of that paper anymore, isn't that on the really egregious situations?
Some of it, but even when the loans were repackaged and pulled together, it's still the same financial institutions that hold the original paper, and so they do still have an ability to.
I thought they sold all that as securities.
They securitized it, but that still gives them
the
ability.
Holding the paper.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, now let's talk about the second issue that you brought up. You brought up Arizona's the solar states. That's pretty clear today.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
what are you talking about there specifically again to incentivize the industry and/or to increase the industry in the state, which I think is a great idea. But what do you have in mind that would do that?
Well, there's a few different things we need to do, and I think, you know, as you look at a day like today, where and most days of the year, we have more concentrated sunlight than any other place on the planet here. 330 days of sunlight a year,
like the North Dakota now of sunlight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We could be the Saudi Arabia of solar energy, and we should be for those jobs what Motor City was for cars, or what Silicon Valley is for computer chips. That's a huge source of opportunity for us. There's a bunch of different things we need to do. I'm a believer in we need to let the market work and let the best technologies and companies rise to the top, and not have government be picking winners and losers. But one of them is having a renewable energy standard for the country and saying we want to have X amount of energy by a certain year. Most states around the country have that, including Arizona. We need a national standard that's going to help drive that technology.
Which would naturally benefit us, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we need some real, you know, federal investment. Again, that's going to be nationwide, but it's also going to benefit us, especially here, because you look at our history, and part of what's made America great that we were talking about at the beginning of the show is some of those decisions that we made to build our country. You look at the Transcontinental Railroad or the Interstate Highway System or the Internet. We need to build the next generation energy grid for our country.
No question about it.
And we're way behind the eight ball on that and need to catch up. And that's an area where the right kind of investment and some of these public-private partnerships is going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that your website, I think, where my producer got a lot of this information from that he gave me, is devoted to building a new economy.
That's so, one of the planks there, yeah.
Yeah, and as I understand it, you are touting that you will end corporate welfare as we know it, and I assume that's what you've described earlier, bailing out of all these big corporations?
Well, I was talking about the banks earlier, but I think you look at a tax code right now that is larded with all kinds of loopholes put in place by lobbyists, put in place by special interests, put in place by the people with connections. It doesn't make sense.
Like a quilt patchwork of stuff that's
absolutely.
Just come down.
And it doesn't make sense whether you're a progressive or a conservative to say that we're going to have that, because it doesn't make sense economically to say that we're going to put in place a certain loophole for a certain company or a certain industry that hires the right lobbyists.
It's so complicated today that nobody even understands the tax code. It's a joke.
Well, if the people understand it, are the companies that have the teams and teams of lawyers and accountants. You look at a company like GE or a lot of these other companies that don't pay anything in taxes. They pay huge amounts to lobbyists, and they pay huge amounts to legal teams that invest there. That's the wrong place for people to be investing their money as a corporation.
Let me ask you, is it a pipe dream, because this is one of my pet peeves, that we can just scrap the entire tax code and start with some kind of flat tax or something that's equal to everybody, or is that just something that's too wild that can never happen?
I think we need some real fundamental reform there. I don't believe in the flat tax because I think that what that would mean would be a huge, huge tax cut for the very
wealthiest. Not according to what we're saying now. If the very wealthy are using all their might to basically not pay any taxes for their fair
some
share.
Are. Some are, and I think you look at some of the cases we've seen of Warren Buffett, who's paying a lower percentage of his taxes than others. I think what we need is a truly progressive tax code that doesn't have all these kinds of loopholes and really does make sure that we are rewarding responsibility, rewarding family, rewarding hard work, as opposed to rewarding all these other kinds of things.
That's good stuff. I like it. Well, with that, we're going to take our news break here in about a minute. So what about people's retirements? Can you tell me in a minute or less what you're going to do about that? Because retirement wealth has gone way down.
Absolutely.
People can't even retire today. What do we do about that system? Well, Social Security isn't the answer.
No, I think one of the big things we need to do is obviously be protecting Social Security and pieces like that. But it really is, how are we going to make sure that we have a tax system and retirement system on Wall Street that is not going to be losing folks' money like we've seen?
All right. Well, with that, we'll come back to that when we take this break for the news at 4:30. Dennis Wilenchek and Jack Wilenchek on News Talk Radio KFNX.
News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. The director of the Secret Service says he has zero tolerance for the type of behavior that made headlines in Colombia.
I am deeply disappointed, and I apologize for the misconduct of these employees and the distraction that it has caused.
Senator Joe Lieberman, leading one inquiry into that prostitution scandal, says there have been dozens of what he called troubling incidents over the past 5 years. Stock in Facebook was up $1 a share today, but that wasn't enough to quiet disgruntled investors, who are still in the red if they bought the stock when it was first offered to the public. CNBC's Kayla Tausche says, in addition to shareholder lawsuits, government investigations continue.
Now the SEC and FINRA have both opened reviews of this situation, not to mention a subpoena from the state of Massachusetts. So what was supposed to be a deal of the century ended up losing a lot of money for investors.
Overall, stocks largely recovered after spending most of the day sharply lower. The Dow closed down 7 points. The S&P was up 2. The NASDAQ rose 11. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, firefighters holding their own in the various wildfires across the state. APS repairing some utility poles damaged by the Gladiator fire.
APS discovered they had 17 poles damaged on a 12 kV line from Cleeter to Crown King.
Maricopa County Sheriff's deputy has arrested an 81-year-old Whitman woman for animal cruelty.
We found 64 cats. At this point, none have been euthanized, but they are being medically screened by the Humane Society.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies find an illegal alien lost for 2 days in the desert southwest of Casa Grande.
He told us he was from Esquinapa, Sinaloa, Mexico, and that he had been lost and was extremely tired.
Phoenix woman gives birth to a child following a traffic accident.
For some reason, the driver crossed over the center line and into eastbound traffic.
And a miracle baby born outside of a womb a year ago celebrates first birthday.
He was so tiny, but he just got healthy.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of 5-hour energy. We still have that wreck, Baseline Road at Kyrene, as well as Thomas Street and 68th Street. Southeast Valley, look for an accident. Germain Road at Price. You can use Queen Creek or Dobson and watch for another wreck. Northern Avenue, just west of I-17. You know that 4:30 feeling. You've hit the wall, but you got to get stuff done. That's the time for 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy when you just got to get stuff done. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, getting ready to start this big cool down as we move toward our holiday weekend. Mid to upper 90s tomorrow and Friday. Windy at times, and motorists should watch for gusty winds and blowing dust over our highways. Then over the weekend, we are only mid to upper 80s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we're at 101 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
If you're one of the 15 million people who want to be free from chronic pain, then you need to experience The Joint, the chiropractic place, the new revolution in chiropractic care. Feel better with no appointments or insurance hassles with four visits for just $49 a month. Visit us today, because when you're in pain, you want relief now.
On the southwest corner of Scottsdale and Shea in the Fresh and Easy Plaza.
For more information or to locate a clinic near you, visit us online at thejoint.com.
If you have a mortgage in Arizona, there's a huge chance that you're upside down on that home. There is good news. Banks are encouraging short sales. At Renee Leach & Associates, we have the experience to help you get out from under a bad mortgage. It will cost you nothing. You can't wait. Banks are not going to allow you to short sale forever. Call 480-656-1644. Ask for me, Dave Leach, and let me help you gather the information you need to understand your options. Renee Leach & Associates, 480-656-1644, 480-656-1644, rlabrokers.com.
Baby boomers,
home projects,
green living,
it's three
expos in one,
all happening June 2nd and 3rd at the Home and Life Super Expo. Experience the home and building, big green, and baby boomer expos. Shop and enjoy three shows in one and triple your fun for the price of one. The Home and Life Super Expo, sponsored by SRP, June 2nd and 3rd at the Phoenix Convention Center. Discounted tickets and parking coupons at exposaz.com. That's exposaz.com. It's three expos in one.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Thank you, Chet. And Jack and I are back together. My son Jack, who just passed the bar exam, and
congratulations, Jack.
That's
a big achievement.
Yeah. That's right. Now he can go out and buy some clothes. He doesn't have to wear that heavy coat here in the studio.
He's looking sharp.
The suit.
So what is that, camel hair?
It's a little hot for this weather, but it's a good looking suit.
Yeah, Jack's actually on the radio every Fridays with a bunch of people.
Yeah. That's the crazy comedy show, Credit Planet Radio.
I thought this was the comedy show.
That's true. Okay. Not intentionally, though.
All right, okay.
Okay, well, let's talk about some other things, Andre, in the next hour with Andre Cherney, who's running for District 9 Congress hoping to win the primary to run against, I guess there's a slew of people out there on the Republican side.
Six folks, yeah.
Yeah, this always happens when you have a new district, though, so it's not unusual. But interestingly, a lot of people just tend to knock themselves off, and then when the election comes, they don't have any money to do anything. So hopefully that won't happen to you. But speaking of which, while we're on that, how is fundraising going for you, Andre?
Yeah, I think we have a really strong campaign. Really good set of endorsements from people like Terry Goddard and people like Dennis Kavanaugh from Mesa and Ray Waters and a lot of other good folks from the community. A really good field program and fundraising is going well as well. At the end of the last quarter, which they kind of divide up these reports, we had only been in it for 7 weeks, but we're one of the top five fundraising campaigns in the country among Democrats, and ended up with more cash on hand at that point than all the other eight people running Wow. combined. Certainly don't expect that that's going to necessarily continue.
Well, you hope so.
I wouldn't mind, but I think we're doing well and getting a lot of good support. And I think the best part of it is, two-thirds of the contributions are our local contributions, big majority are small dollar contributions, which I think shows the kind of hopefully excitement and energy that that people are bringing to this campaign, and people excited about really standing up for the middle class and actually making a difference for folks in a way that, you know, some of the people in office right now just haven't done.
You know, I want to talk with you a little bit about your background, because I do find it interesting. I always find it interesting when I hear, you know, stories where people's parents were immigrants. I mean, that's the beauty of this country, obviously, for all of us. Tell me a little bit about your background and your family. When did they come to the United States?
They came 40 years ago this year, 40 years ago this July. They came from communist Czechoslovakia, so grew up right, you know, behind the Iron Curtain.
So how old were you when?
I was born here.
Oh, you were born here.
I was born here, so
okay.
I was born a couple of years later.
Where did they move to in the United States?
Moved to Los Angeles.
Really? That's interesting.
So they had some family out there, and so moved there, and I grew up.
You grew up in L.A.?
Yep, grew up in L.A., and, you know, kind of classic immigrant background, small upstairs apartment, and watched them work incredibly hard, would work, you know, two or three jobs each when there was work available, and you know, really did work hard, but of course still struggled.
Did they speak English when they came over here?
My dad did. My mom didn't.
Was he educated over there? Or?
Well, they both were educated. I mean, they were in their late 20s already when they got here.
I mean, were they educated beyond, say, like a high school education?
Yeah, they both had graduate degrees.
Really?
And so
when they came to the United States, were they able to apply those degrees, or did they start, like, at the bottom of the rung?
Basically, had to start over.
Yeah,
my dad became a Teamster. My mom worked at first in a watch factory and did other things, and then she went back to school. When I was growing up, she worked and obviously raised her kids, but also went back to community college. Started with mm-hmm. English as a second language programs, remedial English, and worked her way up to get a PhD in psychology. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I really valued education a lot, and for me it was the same kind of thing. I mean, I was lucky enough that we lived in a country and that you had people before me who built a public school system and put in place public libraries and things like Pell Grants. And, you know, as I said, I was able to go from a kid who's, as you mentioned, parents didn't speak much English to working in the White House and serving my country in uniform in the U.S. Navy Reserve and serving as an assistant attorney general here in Arizona, and have gotten to a lot of things because of the kinds of decisions that we as a country made, that we were going to build a ladder of opportunity for people. And the reason I'm running is really because I see that breaking down, and I feel a sense of personal obligation to make sure that those opportunities are around for people today.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, really. It's a great story. And are your parents still around?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to be proud of what you've done and what you're doing.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, they mostly they're proud of the fact that we gave them two grandkids, and that's their main concern.
And your wife is an attorney as well, right?
She is, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's fourth generation Arizonan, and so we have two kids that are fifth generation Arizonans.
Yeah. Well, as I said off the air, I know her father very well. Now, having told us about that background, you have brothers and sisters?
Younger brother, yeah.
Younger brother?
Yeah.
And how's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah. He lives out in Los Angeles and trying to break into the entertainment industry and having some success.
Like everybody else out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what brought you to Arizona? I'm really curious
about
that. Well,
my wife, met her in school, and, you know, as I said, she was fourth generation, and, you know, from day one, she wanted to come home, and so I was glad to follow her here before we were married. And
you met her in college?
In law school.
Oh,
yeah.
In law school. Yeah.
And so we... moved here shortly thereafter and ended up getting married, and the rest is history.
Right, right. Well, that's just a great story, I got to tell you. And, I was mentioning to Jack, actually, after last week's show, that I think this is a true statement, that it seems to me that people who are immigrants to this country sometimes, I think most times, are sometimes more, or most times, I say, patriotic and loyal to this country and have an eagerness to be an American more than people who are most of the time born here, number one, and most people who have been fourth or fifth generation. I see immigrants that are just so thrilled to be naturalized and to be a part of this country and serve in our military and so forth. And I think we take, you know, I can tell you, I take it for granted sometimes being an American. I don't think immigrants do.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, watching my parents, and obviously I was, born here and native, but you know, with immigrant parents, and so I think I had a little taste of that just watching them, and you know, grew up just very much believing in this country and what it stands for, and really, I think that's been a big desire, a big part of my desire to serve is because of that, of really feeling that I, you know, whether it was serving my country in uniform or working in the White House or doing what I'm doing right now is a sense of, you know, how can we give back to a country that I think has given my family so much. And as I said, they came from, you know, a place where there was no freedom. There was no...
How'd they get out of there?
Well, they were kicked out of there. They were, you know, involved with... they were in the arts community with a lot of the people who ended up, you know, 30 years later, 20 years later, being the people running the country.
Right, exactly.
But they were, you know, at that point, they were all just, you know, theater bums and filmmakers and things like that. And, you know, didn't really think of them really didn't think of themselves as political dissidents, but didn't like the kind of oppression of the regime. And, you know, the folks in charge there basically said, all right, you have 2 weeks and pack your bags and see you later. And they thought they would never go back to the only country that they had ever called home, really, you know, and they were in their late 20s. And, you know, so I grew up really believing in how special America was.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Like I said, it always moves me to hear stories like that. Now, we only have a couple of minutes before the next break. As I said, this time just flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your work at the Attorney General's office. You mentioned that earlier. You said that you prosecuted some mortgage fraud cases. Was that your main thing that you did?
I was in the fraud and public corruption unit there, and so had a wide variety of cases dealing with mortgage fraud, other kinds of fraud, some, you know, as I said, public corruption issues, white collar crime, corporate crime. You know, dealt with some of the human smuggling rings and went after some of those folks as well. And so really it was a pretty amazing opportunity to be in court on an almost daily basis and go down there and take on some of these bad guys.
Okay, with the time that we have left, and we don't have much, unfortunately, for this segment, we're going to come back and talk to you more about immigration, given the story, wonderful stories you've told us about your parents, as well as education and some other issues. We're talking with Andre Cherney, who's running for District 9 Congress on the Democratic side. August 2nd, early balloting, August 28th is the primary.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Have your voice heard. Tune into The Savage Nation, weekdays from 5 to 7, only on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
So, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello? That's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
London Gold. It's the best.
Diamonds. A gift of diamond jewelry says, you're special. You're special to me. That's why selecting the perfect diamond is so important. For over 30 years, London Gold has been privileged to be a part of these special events. The experience of selecting your diamond is special to us. We understand how important this transaction is to you. Our staff of designers and craftsmen will help you select the diamond and create a distinctive and impressive piece of jewelry that will fit your budget. Our prices will impress you. Visit our website and see for yourself. London Gold Sparkles, with three valley locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. Or visit us online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk.
Well, we're back. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio every Wednesday, 4 to 5, speaking about issues that hopefully are important to you, one of which is elections. And we're in that season, and we have some new races based on redistricting, one of which is this election that we're talking with Andre Cherney about, who has been involved in politics for a long time and is a guest on the show today for the hour. Andre, before we took our break, we were talking about the amazing story of your parents coming over here, actually being thrown out of Czechoslovakia, coming here, starting a new life. We all have stories like that in our families, but
right.
maybe not as immediate as yours. you know, that's what built this country, obviously. Now, let's talk a little bit about immigration. We've got some time before the final break here, because that has to be near and dear to your heart based on what you're telling me.
Sure.
So, Give us your take on the whole immigration system and what your position is on it.
You know, my position is that we are a nation of laws, and, you know, illegal immigration is wrong and it's a problem, but we're also a nation of immigrants, as we were talking about before, and we need to balance that. I think it's a real problem for our country that we have 12 million people living here undocumented, and what my answer is we need to be in the business of problem solving. I think there's too many folks who have used this issue as a political football. We need to have a solution to this that is going to make sure that we do have a border that is going to be one where we have knowledge of who's coming in and out, and we as a country have a right and responsibility to know that. And at the same time, we need to bring those 12 million people out of the shadows. And I think that you go back a few years and you had a situation where President George W. Bush and John McCain and Congressman Jeff Flake and Ted Kennedy were all basically coming together around a solution that everybody had to give a little bit, but was actually going to be one that was in the business of problem solving and actually moving forward on this and not just dragging it out, which only rewards people who are trying to make political hay and not actually trying to make things better. In my opinion, we need to get back to that kind of conversation. And
is that possible today, do you think, given the acrimony and the partisanship?
I have to believe it is, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I think that you look at 2012, and it seems to me that we have a chance, hopefully, to send a group of people back to Washington from Arizona, hopefully Democrats and Republicans alike, that say we need to move forward. I think that what you're seeing in the Republican Party right now in some of these primaries and what Mitt Romney and some of the challenges he's facing is that I think there's going to be a lot of pushback among people of all races and all backgrounds against some of the positions in the Republican Party that really, in my opinion, have gone way over on the extreme on this issue. People want a solution there, and I think it was Arizona politics that helped get us off that page, and it's going to be leaders from Arizona who are going to get us back on that page as well.
Now, how do you characterize yourself for the public? Or would you consider yourself a moderate, conservative, liberal? How do you characterize Andre Cherney?
You know, I'd say I'm a progressive problem solver, somebody who you know, has some real progressive values, but is mostly about.
Is that a code word for liberal, or is that different?
Well, people can call themselves different things, and I don't know. I haven't seen the definition.
Well, I think it's important just so the public has a perception.
Yeah, I mean, I call myself progressive, I guess, because I, you know, identify with the tradition of people like Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, and, you know, it was a tradition that was in both parties. People had different approaches, but they said 100 years ago that we need to rethink what America's system is to a new time. We're moving from the farm era to a industrial America. We're living in a very different America today, and I think we need to update what our country is about for this time and place. But mostly I'm about somebody who's going to be getting results for the middle class. That to me is something that's beyond ideology, because, you know, you can cut things different ways. But to me, the challenge that we've been talking about over this past hour of what's happening to our families, what's happening to our country at a time that we have a system right now that we see a fundamental failure of leadership. And honestly, it's in a lot of times in both parties of folks who have not done right by the values that have made America great, investing in our people, investing in our future.
You're not a straight party line kind of guy.
No, No, I never have been, and I you know, in this race have been, you know, taking on some of the folks in my own party and some, you know, the establishment there, because I don't think that they've done some of the right things either. I'm not trying to tear anybody down, but I think we need people who are going to really be there rewarding hard work and responsibility, and not the kind of irresponsibility and greed that we've seen rewarded in Washington over the past couple of years.
Now, I know you don't want to go negative and all that. We talked about that at one point at a break, but, and I respect that very much. I think the public is respectful of that. But really, at some point, you have to distinguish yourself from the people you're running against. So I'm going to give you another opportunity to do that. What about you is different than David Shapiro or Kyrsten Sinema as far as whether they would what they would do in mm-hmm. Congress versus you, and why you're running versus them?
I think I have a record of getting real results. As we talked about, whether it was in Clinton White House, whether it was working to launch the fight for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and taking on some of those big challenges. You know, two other folks running in this primary who are good folks and are decent people in terms of their basic approach. But I think that if you look at their record, while they've been in the state legislature, certainly they've lost a lot of the battles, whether it comes to women's rights and workers' rights and jobs.
Are they too partisan in the sense that we've been talking about, that they're unable to really cross the aisle and do what needs to be done?
I'd say that they've been ineffective, that they have not been able to get results. To me, it's not just about, you know, sending out some tweets or going on Facebook or going on TV and talking about all the bad things that are happening. At the end of the day, people are fed up with that kind of politics. They want people who are actually going to get results for them, who are actually going to make their families' lives better, the kind of challenges we're facing in our country right now. And I think they look at the people in public office right now, and they're not seeing that. And oftentimes they're not seeing that among Democrats or Republicans.
I agree with you, by the way, and I think that that's what's needed, but we don't see enough of it. And if you're that kind of guy, I think the public should bond to you, because we need people that can cross the aisle, stop this partisanship. People don't care. That's my feeling about it when I talk to people. They don't care about what party you're a member of. I mean, they really don't. They want to see that the country's moving forward and becoming the great country that it once was. Mm-hmm. And we're slipping. We are.
We are. There's no question about it. We are losing that kind of America, that kind of America that we've been talking about, and kind of America that let me go from, you know, being that kid to sitting here and talking.
We
got to
stop
today.
Calling each other names, and we got to get back down to the fact that we're all Americans. We got to all remember that first and foremost, don't you think?
Absolutely, that's at the end of the day, there. It shouldn't be about a party. It shouldn't be about anything else. It should be about actually doing the right things for our country.
Yeah, that's very well said. Very well said. Now let's talk a few minutes we got left here before our next break and our final break. First of all, let's tell the public how they can contribute to you and get to know you a little bit better.
Well, absolutely. We have a great website at CHERNY4Congress.com.
C-H-E-R-N-Y.
C-H-E-R-N-Y, F-O-R, Congress.com. And people can go on there. They can learn more about me, see my positions, sign up to volunteer. We have a great volunteer group that's doing all kinds of different things, people of all ages taking part. And if they want to contribute, would certainly welcome that as well at CHERNYforCongress.com.
All right. And again, the early balloting is August 2nd. The primary itself, August 28th, that
Absolutely.
They can vote.
Right.
Okay. And then before we break again, I want to go into two other issues and give you an opportunity to speak. Actually, three. Let's talk a little bit about the Citizens United case, because I just got something from you today on that in my email. So tell us about that real quick.
Well, you know, this was the decision that came down from the Supreme Court a couple of years ago that said corporations are people when it comes to politics, and it's just opened the barn door to a kind of Wild West system right now where you have these super PACs funded through undisclosed contributions that are really taken over our political process. You look at what's happened in these Republican
primaries. Have you
primaries.
Seen it in your race in particular?
Not yet, but we're hearing rumors that it might be happening,
okay.
and certainly we would be concerned about that. But you're seeing this situation where, the race between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney and Santorum, it wasn't their campaigns that were really running all these ads back and forth.
Right.
The great majority came from these, billionaires who are putting in all this kind of money. And you have a possibility of a political system that's going to be bought and paid for. I don't think that's good for anybody, whatever your ideology, whatever your party. We need to, as a country, be able to take back our politics.
Well, it's gotten so dirty. I mean, we were talking before you got here about this whole Mark Mitchell you know, election in Tempe.
Terrible.
Against Monty. Yeah. And, you know, everybody is always plausible deniability. I had nothing to do with this, but somehow it gets out there.
Yeah.
You can't have third parties introducing this kind of stuff at that level.
Well, there was some ugly stuff there, and I'm glad the voters of Tempe took a stand against it and elected the right guy there, because I think people are fed up with that. So, you know, we've put out a petition, and if you go to CherneyForCongress.com, you can sign our petition to say we're going to try to do a constitutional amendment to give Congress the ability to have some real reform.
All right, that's great. Now, look, we're going to break in about a minute, so wrap this up for our audience. Tell them why they should be voting for Andre Cherney.
Well, thank you. And you can learn more at CherneyForCongress.com. But I'm running to restore the kind of America that we believe in and get our country back on the side of the middle class. And, you know, it's Washington right now is not working for ordinary folks, and we need to put people back in charge. So CherneyForCongress.com, and thank you all for having me here today.
Well, we'll follow you. Thank you for being here today, by the way. This is Dennis and Jack Wilinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio. We will be talking with you again next Wednesday from 4 to 5. And after this break, you'll be listening to Michael Savage Show.
And triple your fun for the price of one. The Home and Life Super Expo, sponsored by SRP, June 2nd and 3rd at the Phoenix Convention Center. Discounted tickets and parking coupons at exposaz.com. That's exposaz.com. It's three expos in one.
The largest financial transaction of your life is too important to place into the hands of just any lender. You need a lender that has competitive rates and a variety of loan programs. You need a lender that answers your questions in days instead of weeks. You need a lender that is with you every step of the way. You need Waterstone Mortgage. Let Waterstone Mortgage take the stress out of purchasing your new home. Call 480-635-3000. 480-635-3000. 480-635-3000.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m.